Thank you and be seated, please. What a super great joy it is to welcome you on this third Sunday of Advent to Conyers First United Methodist Church. The Advent wreath is our primary symbol of the season. 3 weeks ago, it began in total darkness, just like the human soul, without the light of God in Jesus Christ. Across these weeks, the color, the flame, the heat, the intensity are growing as we celebrate the fact that God has answered the cry of his ancient people perfectly in the person of Jesus Christ. This morning we light the rose color candle, not the pink candle, but the rose colored candle because of the prophecy traditionally associated with Advent 3. The prophet Isaiah talks about the human soul as being a barren desert, a wasteland, brown and blah, no life, no color, no prospect of possibility. But listen in this prophecy from Isaiah chapter 35, how everything changes with the coming of Messiah. Listen now to this ancient call. The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful-hearted, be strong. Do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. We light this rose-colored candle this morning in celebration that Jesus has come, and that your heart, your spirit now can blossom as the rose. I invite you to light the candle here. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. Thank you and be seated, please. Let's pray together and honor the Lord by acknowledging his presence in this place. Father, in Jesus' name, we delight to greet you in this place this morning. And as the light and intensity of the Advent wreath grows, Lord, we pray the light and intensity of your Holy Spirit would grow in our lives to truly make us into the character of Jesus, to give us his compassion, his desire to serve. Lord, today we ask that we would be so aware of your presence, so overwhelmed with what you want to do in our lives, that this would be a day of great decision, that we would leave changed and empowered people ready to live as your kingdom changers. Father, for these moments of quiet reflection, we give thanks that your holy presence might heal our hurts and restore hope to our brokenness, infuse faith into our doubt, and allow the wasteland places of our hearts to blossom with the rose, the fragrance, the color of new life. Great God, in a world where wars and rumors of wars abound, in a city where shootings take place, even in our own neighborhoods, we pray that the darkness would be dispelled by the Prince of Peace. We pray for our military men and women across the world. Bless them with a hedge of protection. We pray for our missionary men and women and a vibrant witness that they offer to the world. Lord, we pray for our president and the supreme leaders of this country. Oh God, save us from the political bickering that is causing this great country to suffer. Remind them, great God, and remind us that we cannot afford to be Republicans and Democrats. We are us, and us is worth saving. Us is worth serving. Oh God, bless our nation with a renewal of strength and confidence and certainty that you have called us to an exceptional purpose. For every good blessing, we give thanks. And now, as a united community of faith, not because of what we are, but because of whose we are, we pray boldly as Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. How would your life change if you were absolutely convinced that God Himself was with you? The theme of the Advent season is the great truth that God is with you, and His great heart desire is that you know that He is with you, and that singular truth be that source of confidence and power to set you free to be all that He wants you to be. This morning, I'm continuing my 2010 Advent teaching series, The Meaning of Christmas, four lessons about the birth of Christ that can change your life. 2 weeks ago, we began with that bedrock affirmation, God is with me. And what I love about that affirmation, the word with in the Greek text of the New Testament can be equally translated for. Not only is God with you, God with me, but God is for you. The second great affirmation, God wants to save me. God's great desire is reconciliation, is restoration, a renewal of a sense of real purpose and hope. This morning we build on those two affirmations to affirm God can use me. I'd like to speak to the person or persons here who, because of life's circumstances, disappointments, heartaches, honestly wonder if they are worth being used. If there's any value left. If there's any gift left to offer. If the heartache and the mistakes and the painful decisions of the past have eliminated you from being considered to be used by the Most High God. This morning I have good news from you from the Gospel according to St. Luke. One of the most powerful encounters in all of the Bible, the angel Gabriel, the messenger of God, speaks to one of the most unlikely characters in the Bible. Unlikely to be used, unlikely to be chosen, unlikely to be a source of spiritual power. A poor, young, uneducated woman named Mary. Today, evangelical Protestants can wholeheartedly join with our Roman Catholic and Eastern Orthodox brothers and sisters in celebrating the unique place that St. Mary holds in the mystery of salvation, the process of God coming into the world. Yes, we have some differences as to Mary's place in the worship of the church, but we have unanimous agreement. Mary is an incredible example of a life of real faith and real willingness. And what we learn in this encounter in Luke chapter 1 between the angel Gabriel and Mary is not the miracle of God coming to earth in a baby so much as Mary's willingness to be used, to accomplish a purpose greater than herself. I hope by the end of this message you realize that God has a purpose for you to fulfill. that is greater than yourself. What difference would it make in your life day to day? I mean, demonstrative difference. What difference would it make in your life if, like St. Mary, the Blessed Virgin Mary, if you were absolutely convinced that God was with you? I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles with me this morning to Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, to this powerful encounter. I'd like for you also to look with me at your outline. And I'd like for you to hear now this reading, this encounter between the angel Gabriel and this most unlikely servant of the Most High God. St. Luke records these words. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one." Now get this. "The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus." This is the word of the Lord. Now, I want you to notice four affirmations this morning from this passage that I believe could change your life. Four affirmations that if you were absolutely convinced God was with you, that you could stand in the great line of St. Mary and being a God-bearer, being a man or woman whose very presence, very personality, very conversation would communicate to a hurting person in a hurting situation, in a hopeless circumstance, God is with you. Now, before we get into these four affirmations, I wish we had time to really look at all of Luke chapter 1, because it's really two birth narratives, two birth announcements. The announcement of a birth to an aged couple, Elizabeth and Zechariah, and the announcement of a birth to an early, early teenage girl, perhaps as young as 12 or 13, engaged but not married, uneducated, from a tiny little town, a birth announcement to her. Now, the announcement made to Elizabeth and Zechariah, now, by the way, Zechariah was a professional clergyman. He was an ordained priest in the temple. The angel appeared to Zechariah and said, "You and Elizabeth are going to have a baby." And Zechariah said, "Say what? Do you know how old she is? It ain't going to happen." A professional clergyman who could not believe that God was actually with him in that announcement, and he refused to believe, and God rewarded that unbelief with the incapacity to speak. He lost his capacity to speak until the day John the Baptizer was born. Now, compare that. Professional, educated, clergy man, hear me, and a young, uneducated, backwater town young woman who exercises the greater faith. Whom does God choose to use for his mighty purpose? The first affirmation that I long for you to incorporate in your life is this: I will choose to believe God. Now, I want to make a distinction in my grammar here. You did not hear me say, "I will choose to believe in God." Huge difference. The Bible says in the book of James, even the devil believes in God, but there's a difference in giving intellectual assent, "Hey God, I know you're there," and actually believing what he says, believing his heart, believing his desire for your life. The angel Gabriel speaks to Mary in chapter 1, verse 28, and says, "Hail, O favored one, the Lord is with you." And there was something obvious in Mary's character that resonated with that saying, and she must have whispered to herself, "Amen." It's true. The angel recognized a positive response. Do you operate with the basic sense that God is with you? Or are you still living under the cloud of doubt that somehow you're afraid God's against you? Are you convinced He's with you and for you because of Jesus? Or do you really fear He's against you? He might let you down. He might not live up to His word. I want to say a word to all of the females here. Those of you who have been talked down to, put down, kept in your place, passed over, paid less, dishonored primarily by the men in your life. You stand in a long line of persons to whom God says you are highly favored. It's amazing to me how many people just assume that they can't be useful to God because the men in their lives have told them, "You're not worth anything. You'll not measure up. You're not smart enough. You're not good enough. After all, you are just a woman." I want you to hear from the heart of your God who spoke to a young, uneducated girl and said, "Rejoice, O highly favored one." That's you, ladies. Can you accept that about yourself? You are highly favored because the Lord is with you. I want you to turn to the next page and answer this question for me. What is your excuse for not being used, for limiting what God can do in your life? What excuse do you throw up? Not smart enough. I don't speak well enough. I don't look right. I don't feel right. I've not had proper education. I'm not spiritual enough. What is it? What's the excuse? Men and women both. You feel something inside you. You know life has to consist of more than this. You feel God birthing some kind of a great spiritual dream in your life, but you work so hard to choke it down. That couldn't be me. How could God use me after all this and this and this and this and this? What excuse do you use to limit God in your life? We celebrate the unique place in the salvation story of St. Mary. She had a long list of excuses, a really long list of excuses. What were they? Poor? Uneducated? From a little tiny town? The biggest excuse she could have used, "I'm a woman." But she refused to limit God in her life. I wonder, men and women both, how long will you continue to limit God in your life? The first affirmation today, I choose to believe God is with me and for me. The second thing that I want you to notice this morning is this affirmation. I will expect God to speak to me. When you come to worship, when you read the Bible, when you pray, do you actually, let's be honest now, don't be spiritual, be honest. Do you actually expect God to speak to you? Do you actually expect to hear something? Do you actually expect to feel an impulse? Do you actually expect an idea? Do you actually expect God to speak? God to act? Do you? Well, if you could affirm the first point, that God's with you, that God's for you, then the natural response is, "Yes, Lord, I'm waiting. I'm ready for you to speak." Let's listen in to the conversation between the angel and Mary. And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no husband?" She was honest. I mean, she's got a boyfriend, but she is a pious young Jewish girl. How can this be? I'm not married. How can this be that I am going to conceive a child? She asks an honest question, but with hope. God answers her question in one of the greatest responses ever uttered from the heart of God through the angel. It's a response that I hold close to my heart in challenging circumstances. What is that response? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will, not might, not maybe, not sort of. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Have you yet figured out God's method of working among humanity? The high and the mighty, the proud and the perfect are no use to God because they are so full of themselves. The one God can use is the one who acknowledges, "I have a heart for what you want me to do, Lord, but I know in myself I don't have the power." Excellent, God says. Here's the solution: the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The Most High God will overshadow you. I know it's not Pentecost Sunday, and I know we're not in the Alpha course right now, but I have an urgent question to ask you. Have you really ever had an encounter with the Holy Spirit of God? I mean, have you had the palpable feeling that the shadow of the Most High has overshadowed you, consumed you, worked in you? May I suggest it is the most incredible feeling, the most incredible exchange I have had, and I thank God for three palpable moments in my life where the power of the Most High God overshadowed me, and I knew it. I felt Him. He opened my mouth to speak praise to Him in a language that I did not understand, to confirm His presence, to assure me of His presence, to fill me with confidence that nothing is impossible with God. Have you ever had that experience? Isn't that what the angel is promising to Mary? The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And that which is conceived in you will be of God. When I pray, when I read the Bible, when I have my moments of personal worship, I expect God to speak to me. Do you? Well, the third affirmation that I want to make from this experience with St. Mary: I will align my life with God's principles. What would you have said, A, if an angel had appeared to you? I mean, once you got the ability to speak, what would you have said to the angel who says, "Good news, the Lord is with you, and you are going to have a baby out of wedlock"? What will mother say? What will your husband say? You know that in Bible days, Joseph would not have had to say anything. He would have been given permission simply to pick up a stone, right? And throw it. What would you have said? Listen into the conversation. Mary speaks to the angel and says, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord," and listen to this incredible word of faith, aligning herself with God's principles. "Let it be to me according to your word." Mary was willing to take an incredible risk of faith. She didn't run home and weigh the pros and cons. She didn't ask her mother or her grandmother what she ought to do. There was a confidence, a calling, a clarity in her life that gave her the ability to say, "Let it be to me. I trust you. I want to align my life with your purpose, great God." Can you say that? Are you willing to say that? "Lord, I don't know what this is going to cost me. I don't know what other people are going to say or think." Let me repeat that. "I'm not going to worry about what other people say or think. Lord, I'm going to align myself with your principles." I fear that if comparing in Luke chapter 1, Zechariah, the professional clergyman, educated, well-heeled, and the young country girl, uneducated, unmarried, that we're a lot more like Zechariah. "Yeah, but, well, I'm not sure. How do I know?" When the Bible calls us to be a whole lot more like St. Mary. "Lord, I rejoice that you're with me. And I expect that you're going to speak. And I am willing to align my life with your principles." The third experience that I want you to notice in this encounter with the angel Gabriel and Mary on the backside of your outline: "I will rejoice in God's provision in advance." Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 46, a passage in the Bible that we historically call the Magnificat, because that Latin word means great, mighty, majestic. St. Mary says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed." Now get this. "For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name." May I confess to you that too many days I'm too much like Zechariah. I want to serve, but I'm skeptical. Would you think less of me if I told you that there are too many days that I'm really afraid, that I'm not up to the task, that I'm going to let you down, that I won't have the faith that is necessary to lead one of God's greatest churches? Would you think less of me if I told you that many days I'm just not sure? I love these words that Mary gives to me. Thank you, God, for Mary's witness. "He who is mighty has done great things for me." When I get afraid, when I feel like I'm in the darkness, I make a declaration to rejoice in God's providence, in God's provision in advance. "God, I don't know how you're going to do it. God, I don't know how you're going to work it out. But I will say from the depths of my heart, blessed is the Lord. For he who is mighty has done great things for me. Lord, you gave me life. You've given me new life through personal saving faith in Jesus Christ. You have poured the power of the Holy Spirit on me and in me, and you have never let me down. Lord, I don't know which way I'm going to go. Lord, I don't know how you're going to work it out, but I'm going to affirm and rejoice with Mary. He who is mighty has done great things for me." Can you say that about your life, about your relationship with the Lord? I'd like you to internalize that verse. Would you open your heart? Would you open your mouth to say, as Mary said, these words of power? Say them with me. "For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy, holy is his name." I hope, I believe, I choose to exercise some faith that you're here by choice. Now, there's a chance that one or two of you are here because somebody pulled your ear and said, it's almost Christmas and you will go to church with me. There might be one or two people in this vast congregation this morning and these three services that have been pulled to church. Anybody want to admit that? No, you can tell me afterwards. But I hope that most of you are here because there is really still some unfulfilled calling, some unfulfilled dream, something that God is in the process of birthing in your life, and you're just not sure. You're a little hesitant. You're a little fearful. You're a little anxious about that. Some years ago, Amy Grant reflected on the experience of the angel Gabriel and Saint Mary, and this announcement that he would do something great through her, and acknowledging her fear, acknowledging her hesitation. Amy Grant wrote a song that continues to echo in my heart and mean a great deal to me, and gives me confidence that he who is mighty has done and will do great things for me. Father, I ask for myself and for my friends gathered here today that you would overshadow us all with your mighty presence and truly birth in us and bear from us the power of your presence. Lord, thank you for choosing us through Christ. Thank you for favoring us through your grace. And thank you now that you are doing something great in our lives. Yes. We pray in the name of the Christ child. Amen. I'd like for you to find your connection card. And if you would turn to the back side, I'd really like for you, as a response to this message today, to internalize Luke chapter 1, verse 30 in your life. I love this verse. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And because I like to personalize scripture and make it my own, I'm personalizing it this way. Do not be afraid, John. Oh God, you know how I'm afraid. Do not be afraid, John, for you have found favor with God. Can you fill in your own name there and make it your affirmation this week? Do not be afraid, Tennille. Do not be afraid, Robert. Do not be afraid, Celeste. Do not be afraid, Kyle. For you have found favor with God. On the bottom of your Connect card is an opportunity for you to share your heart with me. Maybe you'd like to share with me where you feel afraid and where you're praying the Lord will overshadow you and bring something great out of your life. I would be so honored to pray with you and intercede for you on Tuesday. Would you take just a moment to complete your connection card? And then, because it's no one's business, just fold it over. And after you finish your connection card, would you prepare your morning offering? We're moving toward the end of the year. I thank you for your faithful support of our church. We need to raise $173,000 by the end of this year that we might be faithful to all of the commitments we have made. I'm prepared to write a 13-month offering because I believe in the power of the church, and I believe in the power of this church, and this church has earned my trust. Would you complete your connection card and prepare your offering, and then offering baskets will be passed through the congregation. Before you leave today, some of the creative folks in our church have made ornaments for you to take. Faith, Hope, Love, Jesus, Emmanuel, 2010. You're invited to take an ornament from this altar and let it adorn your Christmas tree at home. Receive now the benediction, God's good word for your life, and the seal and the sign of our sure salvation, the cross of Jesus Christ. And now, as always, my friends, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you, his healing and approving smile, and best yet, give you peace, perfect peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.